Here we are, beginning, well, it's almost mid-August already. Are students starting to trickle back into the city?
Yeah, they are. You know, you notice them because big carloads of stuff, you know, all their clothes and their, you know, whatever they need for the school year, you know, typically mom and dad, somebody helps them. So you'll see these big caravans of people coming to town. And, you know, it's really a good positive sign because you know that the vibrancy of the university, it's back and the businesses love it. So it's been a very positive thing to see the return, the beginning of the return of the students.
And just, I believe, was it last week, a week ago now, the new ISU residential building either opened or had a dedication ceremony?
Yeah, we had the ribbon cutting, were opening up a couple days after that to let students start moving in. And so that's completely rented out. About 260 students will be in that building. And they're still working on the commercial space on the first floor, but you know, the rest of it's ready to go and the students are moving in.
That's a huge deal because it's the first big development happening downtown for residential students, correct?
Yes. You know, they've always been right across the street, if you will, but there's kind of that imaginary border, and a lot of the students didn't come across that border. But over the last few years, it's really, you started to see that merging of the downtown and the campus. Now with this building right on Wabash Avenue, and having 260 students living right there, right in the center of all those businesses, everybody's excited about that. It's a very positive thing.
August also means budgets need to be wrapping up soon, I believe. What's the deadline for city budgets?
Well, the approval is by the 1st of November, the end
November,
of October,
okay.
But which we'll get ours done. We'll present it to the council, the initial draft, later this week. And then we'll have meetings in September, and then they'll vote on it in October.
And how's that process coming along?
It's going. It's always a little slow because it's very tedious. You know, we have zero-based budgeting here, so we go back and make sure that every line item in every budget is legitimate, that they're not padding or overinflating something anywhere. And so, you know, it takes us a while to go through that process. So we're pulling it all together now and kind of packaging it. And we'll be still continue to work on it for the next few weeks, but we'll get it to the council and we'll begin the dialogue.
Are you still looking at, you know, balancing those revenue streams per se, cutting things from the budget? Is that still kind of up
in
the air?
It's a mix.
Right?
And when you look at the entire budget, you know, most of our funds are just fine. They have cash balances in them, they have positive flow, but there are a few funds like the general fund, which is a big one, that we have to still work on that gap. And so we'll continue to make cuts and still seek out revenue sources. I mean, that's going to be an ongoing process from here on out because your costs never go down. So even if you eliminate positions, other costs go up. So you're always in that balancing act. And we've got a little bit of a deficit. We've still got to overcome that. So we're still working towards that.
We haven't talked about the new police station for a while. And I was seeing where the Tribstar on the latest funding mechanism that, from what I understand, allows the city that would pick up more debt, though outside of what the city can legally limit on that. Maybe you can explain that better and why that is a good idea for a new police station.
Well, and the thing to think about is the city really doesn't have any debt. We've got three different areas that have debt or can have debt. The redevelopment area, the city as a whole, the city of Terre Haute, and then the sanitary district and the wastewater treatment plant are grouped in that third category. Yes, we have a lot of debt in the sanitary and wastewater, but that has no bearing on what we're talking about here. And with what redevelopment's doing, the crossover is the TIF funds are through redevelopment. And so in the city side of it, though, we don't have any long-term debt. We've got some short-term debt. And what we're trying to do is the third piece of the funding for the police station. The first two bonds go through redevelopment and they're TIF-based. So the money is collected in the downtown TIF area and then it is spent on bonds for projects that are done in that area. The third piece is what the city is doing. The predicament we ran into is the city backs up the redevelopment bonds. And so when you look at our capacity, they've got a 46 TIF area and a Fort Harrison TIF district area that are both backed up with edit funds by the city of Terre Haute. So they go out, they borrow the money, they get their bonds, they do their projects, and then if for some reason the revenues don't come in, the city has to back that up with edit money. So when we go out and want to borrow against edit, which we have no debt against edit right now, other than backing up of those bonds, it puts us in our constitutional limit, even though we don't have any money borrowed against it. It's the potential to borrow against it. So if we go out and do this bond anticipation note, we'll have to pay about $20,000 a year in interest for the first 2 years, each of the first 2 years, and then we'll have a bond then we'll be able to put into place for about $2.5 million or so. It's really a clean, it's the way everybody does it. We've just not done that here. And it's a very clean way to get us into the building and give us plenty of time to go out and sell that bond, which we won't have any trouble with at all. It's a very small bond. And then get the police station under construction, get it built, get into it, and then bond out the rest of that $2.5 million over a short period of years.
So now, to be fair, I've only driven past the police department. Uh-huh. I've never been inside. What makes that a priority for the city?
Oh, absolutely. Great question. You know, that building has always been a temporary part of the process, I guess. We knew, the previous administration was here, knew that that wasn't going to be a permanent solution. They rented that off a local bank. It's a former bank location, but it's actually five buildings that have a facade wrap around it, so it looks like it's one building, but it's not. Varying ages of those buildings all opened up to connect with each other, and once you know that's the way the bank was using it, and that's the way we've used it. And you know, the roofs leak constantly. We've got mold in the basement. The buildings are just, you know, some of them are 80, 90 years old, and they're wearing out. And it doesn't make any sense to bring those up to speed when you're talking about five separate buildings. You know, the floors are unlevel. It just goes on and on. So we knew we had to do something different and new. And so this, we've just been waiting until the right time to do that.
And I never really realized until doing this show about how much of the budget that public officials or the, you know, fire, police take up. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're a big part of the city budget, right?
A huge part. Of that $33 million budget, they probably make up, you know, 2/3 of it. Yeah. And maybe a little bit more than that, you know, just give or take a few things. It's significant. You know, everybody else comes in the other third, all the other employees.
You mentioned just a little earlier about the wastewater treatment plant, and I read where the operations are changing hands between two different departments.
Well, not exactly. All we're doing is currently, it'll still be run by wastewater treatment department. Okay. They run that plant. Mm-hmm. What we're doing is doing something that probably should have been done a few years ago, which we just had not done that, is move the responsibility of approvals from the Board of Public Works to the Sanitary Board. Because of the bonding and everything else, the state wants us to remove all of those activities under one umbrella. Right now we have a sanitary district that has a sanitary board. We have the wastewater treatment plant that's really the finances of it are overseen by the Board of Public Works, and then the council approves their budget. All we're doing is moving it away from the Board of Works under the sanitary board, so everything sanitary related will be under one umbrella.
How does the Board of Public Works feel about that?
I don't think they care a bit. That's just one less heartache they have. You know, so they're not approving their expenditures each month of their payroll. That's really the only big change, or any contracts that would be related to the wastewater treatment plant will now go to the sanitary board, where all the other non-treatment plant sanitary related things already reside.
Along with that, there is a new bond to help pay for the water treatment plant project. Before, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, everything was paid on time, but the monthly payments weren't there.
Well, and I think your clarification is really important. The way this newest bond is that we have to make escrow payments for 6 months and then the payment is made. We have never been late on a payment, ever. We've never done that. We had a couple of months where we got behind on our escrow, but we got it caught up. Well, there's a couple of things that have happened. One is, you know, the state obviously is looking at like, so how do we know this won't happen again in the future? And so they sat down with us and said, here's some things we'd like to do. We'd like to help you in some ways. Here's some things you need to correct on your own. And so that's what we're working on right now, is that package, if you will, to insure. And so when we go out and borrow this money through a bond anticipation note, it will then pre-fund us for that 6 months, plus some other pre-funding of bonds. It'll pay back some of the money that we've fronted to do that from other sources, and so it'll put us on a level playing field to as we roll forward. And then there's plenty of revenue coming in to support paying all that. It's all about timing. And so by borrowing that money, and we'll just be paying interest only on that, and then we'll pay the bond back in full. Our only cost is really interest, and then we will have that money up front, so there won't be any situation where the escrow payments aren't made on time.
And that separates it from the whole general fund.
It separates it from everything, really.
From everything, right.
And what it does is it pulls the sanitary district portion and the wastewater all together, as I said, under one umbrella. So everything related inside the plant and outside of the plant will be bundled together, and it'll be financed separately of anything else.
What would you say, or how would you respond to residents who hear about, you know, these bonds being taken out, that the city is just incurring more debt per se, that they're bothered by this?
Well, we're still under the same cap that we've always had. So even though this is a temporary loan just to get us up front because the revenues are coming in, and then you pay the bond back. And so, you know, when you look at the big picture, I mean, municipalities borrow lots and lots of money. Yes, the wastewater treatment plant and the sanitary district have a lot of debt. Some of it was here before I got here. Some of it is strictly from the EPA and IDEM who make you do this. They tell us we have to spend 2% of the median income of everybody that lives here, and that turned into about $250 million that we are mandated by law to spend on fixing the plant, fixing the infrastructure. So we have no choice. We have to borrow that money. This piece will be, these other bills will be paid off, and other expenditures and things are going to be reduced. And so all we're really paying is interest. We'll pay the bond back, because the revenues are there. So they shouldn't be concerned. It's not taking out more new money. It's restructuring what we're doing, but we have to borrow some up front in order to position all of these. We've got multiple bond payments that are spread across the year. And so it's the cleanest way. That's the way the state recommended it. And so I'm fine with it. I think it'll work great.
I also wanted to get your comment and maybe any updates you might have on the Highland Overseas Lease Group lawsuit for what they're saying is a breach of contract for that Powerdyne business deal that, at least for now, right, has fell through. There's nothing new on the...
Well, yeah, nothing can happen until this is resolved, one way or the other. So some action will have to be taken by the court before Powerdyne will decide, you know, what they're going to do, because is it going to go on and on and on, or is it going to be resolved? You know, we still believe very strongly that we're in a great position here. Everybody knew that it had to go back to the city council to be approved. We didn't know that a year ago, but we knew that 6 months or more ago, and that's what we were working towards. It's unfortunate that they chose to go that route, and now we're just waiting on the court to decide, are they going to, you know, we've put in a motion to dismiss, and we believe we're on very solid ground with that, and we're hopeful the judge will then rule on that in the coming weeks.
Just so that I'm up to speed on this, and maybe those two who are listening to this, that Overseas Lease Group, they were going to dry, or at least had a contract to dry the sludge originally.
Well, let's go back to just the beginning.
Sure,
do
sure,
the
sure.
quick version
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
In the very beginning, there was a group of people, G2E. They had a couple of different names, but it was Highland LLC. That's the entity they created in the state of Indiana. And then there was Powerdyne. Highland was always going to do the drying at the plant. They were going to lease space off of us, own the equipment, and do the drying. And then Powerdyne then would take that from them and make their fuel. At some point, after those original agreements were in place, Powerdyne decided to buy G2E out. So then they owned Highland. So it was all Powerdyne. Then Powerdyne turned around and sold, or began to work through the process of selling, that contract to another party, Overseas Lease Group. And so then they were going to come in and run that instead of Powerdyne actually doing it. That's where the holdup came. So they passed along the contract, the original contract, but we ran into some legal issues with, okay, the contract wasn't completed because it still needed to go to the council, and that's where we got bogged down in the negotiations with Overseas Lease Group. So it involved all three parties, Powerdyne, Overseas Lease Group, and us, but we could never come to an agreement to clean up that contract and make it the way everybody was happy with.
And so now the city is basically saying that Overseas doesn't really have a basis for this lawsuit.
Right, because it had to go to the council,
right.
Never happened, and all of everything that we've seen out there tells us we're on solid ground. Not that we don't want to do business with any of these folks, it's just that it has to be done right. And once we moved along in the process, that was a critical step that we found, and it's not happened, so the contract's not valid. In our opinion, you know, based on our attorneys telling us that. Sure.
So at least for now, there's nothing new to report on that basis.
Just waiting
for the...
We've resubmitted, you know, and we're waiting on them, Overseas East Group now, to resubmit. Basically, they filed the lawsuit, we filed the motion to dismiss, and so you kind of work through that process. Within the next few weeks, though, that process will end, and it'll be up to the judge to say, okay, is this moving forward or is it not? Right.
And then from that point, then you can move forward with Powerdyne.
Yeah, we're hopeful that, you know, things will still be able to move forward, and so we're just waiting to get this legal piece at least addressed. It may not be finalized, but at least we'll know what direction it's going.
I also came across a report from the council meeting about e-cigarettes. And I thought that was interesting because I'm still caught off guard when I go to like the mall and mm-hmm. you see someone light up and you see smoke and you think, what yeah. are you doing? And then you realize, oh, it's an e-cigarette. Are you seeing more and more of that here in Terre Haute? And so that's why these restrictions are starting to become more of an issue?
There's a couple reasons. One, you're seeing kids doing it and they're not supposed to be smoking. So it becomes an issue in the schools and the mall and everywhere else you might be. People think it's okay to smoke those when you can't smoke cigarettes. And so I think there's those two things are going on here. One, where people are seeing more younger people doing it and they're able to go in and buy these devices, but also these devices can be used for other types of products that are illegal. And so we just want to make sure there's some rules and guidelines via ordinance in place to restrict access to people who shouldn't be getting to those products, and only those are using it that should be. And so, you know, it's not anything radical or dramatic. It's just we don't address that in our ordinance, so we wanted to make sure that was addressed.
And I guess just final question, what's top three things you're working on right now?
Top three things. Police station, you know, that's a big deal. Yeah. Budget, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, we over the next few weeks, we'll spend a lot of time working with the council to hone in on that budget. We'll get the police station, get the financing completed on that here, hopefully in the coming days. Those are two huge ones. A third one would just be wrapping up our projects. I mean, we still got a few months here to go, but you know, we're getting the railroad tracks pulled out here on First Street. That work started about 2 weeks ago. They got about two more weeks to go on that. Our projects related to the wastewater treatment plant are wrapping up, but then we've got outside of the plant projects kicking off. So you're kind of always in that mode of doing that, doing projects. But Margaret Avenue is a big one for us too, that we're trying to finish one big section and start another one. So those are all keeping us very, very busy around here.
How's the Margaret Avenue project coming along?
That 7th to 14th section, the south side of it, the south half, is almost completed. We'll open that up and we'll tear apart the north side and get that built. The goal is still to get it done before winter. Depends on how wet the fall is, but we're moving forward on that. And land acquisition is going great on the 14th to 25th Street section. So the project continues to move forward.